from Psalms 103, beginning with verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all.
And Happy New Year. I don't know about you, but last night was kind of crazy at my house. There's explosions going on all around our house. It was like a battlefield out there almost. There was just about everybody and their brother was firing fireworks off. You know, according to the Julian calendar, this is January 1st, the beginning of the new year. In 45 BC, Julius Caesar added 67 days to the Roman calendar and reformed their system. Before this calendar, they used a lunar calendar, and it was often out of sync. It didn't really match up to the seasons all that often. They had people that monitored it to try to keep it on track, but those people found what little power they could get out of that job and liked to affect politics with it. So what they would do is they would add days to the calendar to lengthen political leaders' terms or to shorten terms, and they would mess with the election cycle with this. So Julius Caesar, he changed it all, he reformed it, he turned it into a solar calendar. You know, there are four, maybe five different New Year's days every year. The Chinese, they celebrate on the 28th of January. The Jewish and Islamics celebrate on the 20th of September. The Thai celebrate on April 13th, and the Ethiopians celebrate on September 11th. And often when we celebrate, we're actually 3 hours behind what's going on, because what we actually watch on TV when the ball drops in New York is time delayed, so it's 3 hours old by the time it gets to us. So really, today is kind of an arbitrary day that was just kind of planned to start the new year. But this is the year that this is the time of year when we actually look back on our lives, and we kind of see what we did last year, and we try to make ourselves better for the future. Sometimes we make big decisions. Sometimes we make decisions to make our lives better. Sometimes we make decisions to stop doing something. Turn with me to James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." James 4 is all about warning us against worldliness. It starts off until James tells us that we have been praying wrong because what we ask for is for our worldly passions. He says that if we make friends with this world, we are making enemies with God. He says that God resists the proud. You know, the four most common New Year's resolutions are self-improvement and education. 47% of people want to do self-improvement in education. 38% of people want to lose weight. 34% of people want more money in the next year. They want to save more money. They want to have a better paying job. 31% of people want to have a better relationship. They want to have something different in their life. Those don't all add up to 100%, by the way, because everybody makes multiple resolutions. So why are those resolutions made? We make those to better ourselves. But as Christians, we are told that self isn't what we should be focused on. What we should be focused on is what James says here, the Lord's will. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and its works that are done on it will be exposed. But here we see the Lord's will, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In most cases, our New Year's resolutions have nothing to do with God's will. They are focused on self. It's about how I make myself better, how I make myself skinnier, how I make myself able to earn more money, or how I can get that new relationship that'll make me feel good about myself. What we have to do is focus what we want on God's will. What can I do to myself to make myself a better tool for God? What can I do to make myself skinnier so that I can help somebody else out? I can use a few less hamburgers. I could, you know, clearly share. What can I do to earn more money to help my brothers? You know, it's not a new concept here. There have always been people that want to do God's will, and there have always been people that just don't want to do it. They just want to do what they want to do. We take a look at Genesis chapter 4. This is a story of Cain and Abel. Cain was a farmer. He worked the land. He grew produce. And Abel was a shepherd. He tended flocks. He had sheep. And each one of them gave of what they had. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. While he did not accept Cain's sacrifice, the reaction Cain had to this was anger. God says to this to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 6. It says, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.'" Who decides what is well? It certainly isn't Cain. He's angry at his brother. He wants to kill his brother. God created everything to be good. Man messed that up. God is the only one that knows exactly how to be good. So God here is telling Cain, you have to do it my way. You have to do it the way that I want. You have to do it according to my will. And if you don't, That's where sin is. That's where sin lies, and it's there to destroy you. Abel, he didn't have a problem with what was going on. He did the right thing. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Abel had faith while Cain did not. Abel gave the good sacrifice. He did the will of God, while Cain lacked faith, and his sacrifice was unacceptable. Because Cain was angry and jealous, he killed his brother and hid him in a field. Back in Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 8, it says, "Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And the Lord said, 'What have you done?'" God already knows what he's done. "The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Abel's blood was crying out to God. Crying out to God because he had been killed. His brother had sinned against him. His brother had sinned against God. So God punishes Cain. He puts a mark on his head and he sends him far away from the Lord to live in the land of Nod. Throughout the Bible, men have always sought their own will. They've always wanted to go against him. God prophesied this actually in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 15, says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." There's always going to be enmity between the people of God, or the offspring of the woman, and the people that go against God, what God wants, the offspring of Satan. There's always going to be a struggle there. And that struggle, Satan gets its power. By not doing what God wants, Satan becomes powerful. You know, God is good, and he always will be. Satan wants to destroy what God has made, though. He wants us to go against God's will. He wants God to suffer loss. This is why he tempted Eve, because he hates God. He wants it his way, so he tries to destroy us. We see it over and over. He tries to destroy that lineage of Christ, and in turn, destroy us. We see it with Jacob and Esau. We see it with Pharaoh and Moses. We see it with David and Goliath. The list goes on and on. In 2 Timothy 3, in verse 13, it says, "While evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it." People that do not want to do God's will are always going to not do God's will. They are going to continually get worse. They're going to go further and further from God. We, on the other hand, the people after God's own heart, we have to continue to focus on God's will, to focus on what we have learned, and to do everything that he has taught us. And this is what we've been taught, that prophecy in Genesis 3 has been fulfilled. Take a look with me at Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 21. Jesus speaking. He's talking about Satan here to begin with. "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own place, his goods are safe." This is Jesus talking about Satan here on earth. And in verse 22, "But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils." Jesus is talking about himself here. Jesus came to this earth, to Satan's domain, to where Satan has all his power, to where he can go against, where Satan can go against God's will and harm us, gain his power. Jesus came to this place to destroy Satan, to bind Satan up, take away his armor, and sell his property, give it all away. When we choose to do the will of God, are choosing the stronger side. We are choosing the winning side. You know, evil does sometimes triumph over good, but evil never wins. When Cain killed Abel, evil won for a moment. But Abel's blood cried out to God, and God punished the evildoer. God punished the one that went against his will. Let's take a look at Hebrews 12. There is something greater than Abel's blood. Hebrews 12 and verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkling blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus' blood is better than Abel. It convicts those that have rejected him. Those that do not believe in Jesus are condemned. But those of us that do believe in Jesus, Christ's blood speaks for us. We are saved through his blood. 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. When we do what Christ wants, when we do what God wants, Christ's blood cleanses us from our sins. You know, every year, millions of people make this time of year about examining their lives, about making plans to change them for the better. We don't know how much time we have. We are just a vapor here, and we're only here for a little while. If you make a resolution this year, make sure that it includes God's will. Make sure that you are on the side, the stronger side, the one that's going to win in the end, so that you can receive heaven, so that you can receive salvation. You know, New Year's Day is different in many different parts of the world, but it is a good day to be saved. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is a favorable time, now is the time of salvation. I've talked about that before here, and it's true. Yes, this is a new start, but every day can be a new start if it has to be. If you have not been following God's will, now it's time to get back on track. Now it's time to get back to what God wants for you. If you haven't even started down that road, if you haven't put on Christ in baptism, there is no hope for you until that happens. So if you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you would like to be baptized tonight for the forgiveness of your sins, please come forward as we stand and sing.